Pray for this beautiful day. Thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you just pour upon us, Father. Now we come before you, Father, to ask you that you give us wisdom, Father, as we represent this town of Petersburg. We ask that you be with us in all that we discuss and any decisions that we make. We thank you for the little bit of rain that we got a few days back, and we just ask that you keep us in mind and that you give us that rain that is so much needed here in this area. In all of this, we pray, amen.
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 Thank you.
Join me in the pledge, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is our announcements and for our meeting next. Our next meeting will be held on April 10th of 2018. Won't be here. I'm traveling. Keep that in mind. Item two on the agenda is public comments. And I just want to remind any of y'all that have any public comments that we do keep it to the 3-minute time limit. We don't want this to drag on and on and on. With that being said, I'll open up the floor for public comments.
I have one.
Yes, sir.
I have something.
Please state your name.
Oh, Terry Aiken. And I'm just here to, I know I'm not on the agenda for this, but I just wanted to bring this to y'all's attention, and I'm going to get Susie to get me on the agenda next time so that we can possibly correct this problem. And it's not really a problem, but I own half of that field west of my building there. And on the survey maps in Plainview at Joe Carl Williams' office, it shows that 3rd Street still comes onto my property right beside my building, and the Avenue A still comes on right here. Now, the rest of this has all since been closed a long time ago. There's a 2nd Street still comes down here in front of the county barn. It's going to be by the RV park and all that, but there's really no road here. And when they put this spur in here, that's what became Avenue A, because my address is 1200 Avenue A. But on the official records in Plainview, this little piece of 3rd Street and this little piece of Avenue A were never closed. So that makes this little piece of land that I have over here it's not very big. But if you guys would give me a letter saying that y'all would allow this to be closed, and that's what had to be done on the rest of this over here when it was closed, because on his records it all shows that it is. But if you guys would give me a letter saying that he can close that, then I would be able to use that whole parcel of land. And right now, the taxes on it are about $6.43 a year. And of course, once that happens, then the taxes are double on it. But I plan on putting a fuel island in there eventually. And that would send the property taxes through the roof for that little piece of land. But there's enough land there without those roads there for me able to put in two diesel fuel islands and a gas fuel island right over here and still have my tanks above the ground. And so that's why I would want to do that. Otherwise, I wouldn't care. But anyway, I'll get you to put me on the agenda so that maybe we can get that done. Thank y'all.
Any other comments?
I'd like to make a comment. I wonder if we've made any progress on the PECD, the Petersburg Economic Development Committee.
What? That's a question within a comment.
Okay. I would like us to make a move on and do something with the Petersburg Economic Development Committee. Is that better? Good deal.
I did see the marquee had that. Have we had people call?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why I was here to see if y'all were, I heard y'all was going to appoint the board members for that, because I'd like to apply for some of those funds too for stuff I'm doing.
All right. Any more comments? Have Okay, if there are no more comments, I will close the public comments section and move on to item 3 on the agenda, and that is our report.
Brandon and Matt are both on an EMS call.
Okay.
Randy, so, Brandon, and Matt.
Oh, did Randy go?
Yeah.
Okay. So that means that our police department...
Matt, it's in there. We'll get to that.
Okay. With that being said, then, the police department report, you probably have a copy of that on there for you to review. If there are any questions on that, we can probably address that at the next council meeting if there are any questions. The fire department, I think TJ sent a report on that. I think everybody has a copy of it.
And I see a couple corrections in that. As I reviewed the grant letter today, it's for a maximum of $200,000, not $220,000.
Okay.
It's right. $220,000 with our $20,000 match, is what
right,
he said.
Right, but there are the max of $200,000. Make sure you understand that. Then they do have $12,500 of what they're looking for. But there's requests been put out to other businesses in town, so I wouldn't bring anything to you to ask you to do anything till we see what the other businesses generate. That's from Wiley's to the co-op gin to the co-op itself and other area farmers who get serviced by these brush trucks, et cetera, out there. So once we see that, then we'll know a little bit closer where we're at.
Okay.
And on Randy's, I can answer any questions you might have on that.
Then go ahead and moving on to C, the EMS report.
Matt just said there were 5 total runs in February, 1 transfer, 2 went to Covenant, 1 to Women and Children's Hospital, and 1 to UMC.
I do have a question about our response to Saturday night's little event. I just wondered where we were.
We had a person on call that claims after 2 pages and a phone call never heard any of it. And that's why we didn't respond on Saturday to the person that fell off the roof. Mm-hmm. And Abernathy was called in.
Okay. And I was a little confused. Why does Abernathy have a UMC truck?
Because they have a contract with UMC.
Okay. That was kind of odd when I looked out the window and was like...
Yep.
Well, now, we did have someone who came from our EM.
But we didn't have to. We didn't have a driver, and we didn't have a person that could ride in the back.
Okay. Okay. I just was
and
wondering.
And one person that was on call that could go in the back didn't hear the page. Now, Matt had told me they'd been having some scrambling issues and problems, so he tried calling the person but didn't get a response. So that's all I've heard from Matt so far.
Okay. Well, I went across because it was right by my house, and Efren had responded to the call, and I said, "Why are we here?" He said, "That's what I'd like to know." And so he said they had tried to contact, but there was not any response.
All right.
Okay.
And so whenever we don't answer the page, then they'll go to the next closest.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And or our police department will communicate with the dispatch and say, bring Hill Center, bring Abernathy, whoever you've got.
And how many do we have on call?
What we would love to have is 2 on call 24 hours a day, a driver and somebody that's a basic or above in the back. And sometimes we hit that, sometimes we don't. The more important is having somebody available in the back. Because right now we're training 5 different people that'll be out of class within about 3 weeks that can drive, and we can still get paid for that person being in on the ambulance. So we're coming up with 5 drivers out of this class, which we haven't had in the past, which is Nathan, Brandon, Randy,
Anna and Jericho.
Anna and Jericho.
Okay.
So once we have more drivers, then we would be able to have...
Then the intermediates, Elvis, Sarah, John and Kat.
Can ride in the back.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Okay. All right, do we have any more questions regarding the EMS? Okay. Then moving on to the other report is Public Works with Randy, and I think Ron's going to bring that.
Yeah, you've got his report. He had a couple items to add on. He's doing a training class and what's called, he already has done, excuse me, and a water loss audit and leak detection class. He went down to Abilene for that. We have to fill out a report every 5 years on leak detection. You can't fill out the report unless you've taken the training, so we had to send him down to get that training. And then we did get cameras installed at the community center. Okay. And any other questions on his report? I'd be glad to ask. I haven't mine, but I'll just bring it up since it's in his. We have a renewal of our wastewater treatment permit coming up in 2019. Our application to submit is due in September of this year. And the person, I have not been able to contact the person yet that did ours 10 years ago. Don't know if he's still doing the permits. We were contacted by a firm out of Florida. We're getting a price quote for them that assist us in this. And this is a big deal. We need to be able to keep operating our wastewater treatment plant. Now, Randy's heard a couple of semi-scary things out of TCEQ at his water schools, one of which is they're requiring towns that have our type of system, the MHOP type, to go in and start testing the concrete to see if concrete is still structurally viable. We don't know that that'll hit us, but we'll just see. We've got to proceed and see what happens as we go to renew this. As I came here, I got us over the problem. It's been 4 years. Now the renewal's coming up. We'll see.
And the renewal, you said, will
It is in 2019, but we have to submit for our renewal by September of this year.
How's all the trash and stuff been moved okay?
We've been moving a bunch, and we're using all of the containers that the county is supplying. We're getting now 7 a week, and what was interesting is the guy that's handling those, after he got the first average weight, says, well, put a little more in, make it a little heavier. Wherever one we did through Triple C here, our carrier, was always lower, less weight. So we'll run the county's full amount of money, and then we'll start into our budget for the year and see how many we get. And I'm sure we can keep the carrier we got through the county doing our additional for this year because he's cheaper. So we're making a dent in it.
A little bit.
Yeah, it is a lot better out there. Does I it? Went out there last week sometime, and it does look a lot better already.
Oh, good.
And one of the big deals that we talked with Commissioner Martinez about, the county has, he has it stationed here, a pickup truck that, or a truck that has a big magnet on the back. And we're getting so many flats out here from loading all of this that it ran, both the magnet and the truck, when they shut it off about 10, 11 years ago. We're going to go over, we've got to put a little money into it, fine, but we're going to try and work it out where we can use that to pick up all these nails, screws, metal out there. Then, if it works out, we'd like to run up and down our alleys with it and pick up any screws or nails we can get out of
the alleys. The easiest thing to do is take that magnet and turn it into a three-point hitch where you can put it on the back of your little Kubota tractor and then you could run that.
Appreciate your comments, but you can only comment during public comment. So that is the biggest things we got going. We did get to spray most all of our lots with Roundup that we mow, and the water towers on that. We're going to put sterilizer on probably in the next week or two. Because it's in his report, I'll address it also, an update on our extension of the water line. We've got the last remaining parts that we need. We're trying to get the contractor over now. He was very busy during the period. He was running an election and become a Lubbock County Commissioner in the process. But hopefully we'll get him yet this week, and it won't take long. Nobody will be out of water as we tap the line.
And on the David and Randy going to this
animal control.
That's in a separate agenda.
Okay. I just saw the date on there. I was just.
I still see a lot of signs that need to be replaced. Are we still working on that? Or
physically, we got the signs in hand, but we haven't had time to get to them yet.
Right. Do we have any questions on the Public Works report?
What is the? I'm sorry. Excuse me, Mayor.
Sure.
On the ambulance due to tripping breakers, what is this? That item?
Yeah. We keep tripping breakers to the air conditioner that handles the bay in the new ambulance. And they've sent us multiple parts and switches saying, here, try this to see if it'll work. And it still hasn't. So they're probably going to have to come up and replace, we think, maybe the compressor. And it was under warranty.
Yeah, okay. All right.
But they like to send us parts and ask Randy if they'll go try it and see if that works versus coming up to do it, so.
All right. If there are no more questions, then we will move on to the city manager's report. Ron?
Okay. On water sales, we're still running down year to date. They were running reading meters today, and we can tell that water consumption is up, which is what we expect, watching everybody starting to water, plus as dry as it's been, so I would expect water sales to bounce right back. On your sales tax, we're running about 9% better than we were year-to-date over last year. Last month, 9%.
No.
This last month, we had a pretty good jump. We don't know what to attribute it to yet. And it's actually from 2 months ago, right, Kayla? We always
the
get
one
this
in
confused.
February would be November's.
Okay. So we had a pickup that seems unusual, but we don't know why. On ad valorem, we're running higher than we did the last 2 years at this point in time. Not significantly, but we're still better, so that all looks good. Okay, I have a handout for you. If you will recall, we had requested an opinion from the Attorney General concerning any involvement the city has with the Chamber of Commerce concerning Petersburg Day or Christmas on the Plaza or other events they run. And at that time, TML had responded to a request from Councilman Gonzalez and in essence said, no, don't do it. I won't go over this in length. Just look at the last page. I highlighted a passage for you, which is after having all the facts of what we've done and what they have requested that we do in light of their events, the opinion is that the Attorney General cannot determine as a matter of law that the use of our resources in these circumstances would be constitutional. Now, he goes on in the last paragraph to tell you, however, if you, the council, can come up with a good, valid public reason, and you can follow the three-part test, which is you keep control over your resources, and you can articulate the benefit you're receiving back, that might be constitutional. But this falls right in line with what TML said, don't do it. But it's there for you to read after you've read it. If you have any questions, come in and see me. I'll sit down and try and explain it to you. collection station we talked about. We were making good progress out there. They say they can see a dent, Randy, you're back. Do you see a dent?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And other than a lot of flat tires.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good there. And then I told him about the install progress. Did you hear this afternoon from the contractor?
No, sir. I have not heard from him yet.
Okay. So we anticipate the contractor being here this week, and then hopefully next week we can finish putting all the line together and get to the point where we'd be ready to start burying that line.
Do we have any questions for Ron regarding our manager's report? If there are not any questions, then we will move on to the consent agenda, item 4. And I will give you all a minute or two to kind of look through that. Look over the minutes, make sure that things are as you recollect.
Say something to somebody makes the motion down the road that you're going to approve. The one request you have, item D, falls right in line with the Attorney General's request you've got. If you wish to approve the consent agenda, I would suggest that the motion would be to move to approve the consent agenda and that the Petersburg Young People's Committee is welcome to use the community center free of charge for fundraisers because it is for a park that is going to be donated to the city and achieves the public purpose that you would want to see for improvement of the city and benefiting the community at large, and you're not giving up anything for free use, therefore you don't have to really worry about a monetary return back.
And that goes along with the last paragraph of what this opinion says. You know, if we can find a valid reason to move forward, then that's where, you know, where we could do this.
We could even add to that motion, the finding would be that a public park in the community satisfies the recreational needs of your residents and promotes the healthful environment of our community.
Who got that?
So, with that being said, and that be, if that explains what, you know, we can move forward or we can, I guess, take it off. And then put it...
well, if you have no other objections, we'll take a so moved.
Yeah, I'll so moved.
All right, let me go through this. All right. Okay.
So then, like I said, if y'all...
She moved.
I did.
Oh, you missed. Yes, okay, I'm sorry. I did. Motion has been made by Councilwoman Horn to approve the consent agenda.
As stated.
As stated.
And the suggested motion.
And the suggested motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion has been seconded by Councilman Gonzalez. All those in agreement? 5-0. Motion carries. Okay, moving on to item 5 on the agenda, discussion action concerning appointment of new director to the Petersburg Economic Development Council. And Ron.
I think at this point the mayor yes. would like the suggestion would be that you table this to next meeting, giving us a little more time, get a little more applicants in for the available positions.
How many do we have?
Four.
How many do we need?
Seven.
Oh.
So
some can be off the city council, don't have to be. And then some must be out of at large besides the city council.
I'm going to run an ad on Facebook. Right now it's only on the RP, so I'll run it on Facebook and see if that gathers more interest.
So I had suggested that maybe we run it another, till the next council meeting, and then hopefully we'll have more more applicants.
And I think we need I think we need to work at it. I think that's part of our job is that we need to get this out. so that everyone really knows that that's what we're trying to do.
And besides Facebook, Kayla, is our webpage up well enough now to put it on there?
I think I can do it.
Okay.
Let's try to get it. Let's get it out there as much as possible. Promote it as far as councilmen get it out there. And if y'all know of qualified or, you know, people that are interested in serving on that PDC board, then by all means.
Are these only allowed for people who live in town, or can people?
No, they can. They can be anywhere from within the county.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Good.
That was a question asking.
Within 10 miles of the city.
Okay.
I don't remember the 10-mile limit. I think it's within the city limits, but I'll double check.
The city limits or the county?
City limits. They have to be a resident of the county. Is what I'm saying. She thinks there's a 10-mile limit. I don't remember that. I'll double check it. But.
Yeah, because we have a lot of good people that do not live in town
be. Well, that question was brought to me, you know, for my attention. So
I can definitely state once they're back into operation, they can meet anywhere within the county for their meetings. They don't have to necessarily meet within the city limits. Okay.
And with that being said,
I'll make a motion that we table it to the next meeting.
Okay.
Give us a little more time.
Motion has been made by Councilman Mullinax to table item agenda 5 concerning the appointment of new directors to the PEDC board until the next council meeting.
Second that.
Motion has been seconded by Councilwoman Horn. All those in favor? 5-0. Motion carries. Item 6 on the agenda, discussion action concerning adoption of ordinance 351-SM, adopting application form, petition form, setting requirements for application, and setting fees for street alley closures. Sponsored by Ron.
Okay, the closure of a street or an alley is controlled by the Transportation Code. And I give you the section of the Transportation Code that controls it. And behind it is a checklist of what we have to do as staff whenever we get a request. Now, that checklist was prepared by the Texas City Attorneys Association. It comes out of a neat little handbook they have called Closing a Street Named Desire, to try and keep it humorous. But there's a couple of important things. Whenever somebody comes to you with a request to close a street or an alley, that is, the most important thing is, 100% of the property owners that abut that section of street or alley must sign a petition and say they want it closed. If you're lacking 1%, it doesn't matter. You can't do it. Okay? So you have to have 100%. So within the ordinance and working off the form out of the handbook, I have prepared the form of the petition. It's attached to the form of the ordinance that we would hand anybody that came in and said they wanted to close the street and alley. Fine, here's the petition, you got to carry around. The other thing is that the applicant who is asking to have a close has to bring in that petition, and then they have to fill out an application form and bring in a sketch or a plat by a licensed surveyor, describing the area that you're going to let go if you close that street or alley. Then they have to bring in a title search prepared by a licensed title company so we know who all the owners are that are abutting the property. And then they have to have a consent form signed by any public utility. Now, that's really other than us. So think of Atmos, think of Excel, Windstream, anybody else that has an easement or utilities in either the alley or the street that you're looking to close. They got to bring all that in before you can even do anything. We as staff have to go through that, make sure that they have everything, And then there's notices that have to be mailed, publications that have to be made, et cetera, et cetera. So the ordinance adopts the petition form that's attached to the back, sets forth the four things that they have to do, and then within the ordinance on paragraph 2 sets the fee for an applicant to pay the city for us to process and do all this. And I have set that in this ordinance at $250. And I looked at what other cities charge, and that's right and wrong. But the biggest thing I want you to keep in mind when anybody says, well, I'm going to close it, whoop, time out. You got to have 100% of the people saying they're going to close it. My suspicion is the reason part of Avenue A and Third were not closed previously is because for Petersburg Service Center, Tommy, his only legal access still left to his building is across Avenue A to the west to Third and back down to the bypass. So that's my suspicion why that hasn't been closed previously. You always got to keep that in mind. You never want to close a street or an alley that limits somebody's legal access to the property. You're going to get sued. That'd be the next thing that would happen. So in this case, if any of that Avenue A was to be terminated, and I can't confirm that what was stated about what was to the east was already closed. I'm not sure of that. I have no records in here that show me that. But even if it was, the portion remaining, Petersburg Service Center abuts that. The county abuts it on the north, and then an LLC that he is associated with owns some other property that abuts it. So the petition would have to have everybody on it.
Okay, now can you say that again about the access to Tommy Rosen's?
Mm-hmm. What he said is not true, but...
Okay, right here where Tommy's building is at, Avenue A comes across and he abuts that portion of Avenue A. If Avenue A was eliminated, closed, he doesn't have access there anymore. He doesn't have legal access to Third, and he doesn't have, that I'm aware of, what he's told me about, legal access to Second. So that's one thing you got to look at. Is where their access is at. Now, even if A was closed, coming all the way across here, and I can't say that's true, I don't see any documents yet to prove it to me, the remaining portion of A, if you were asked to close it, he has to consent to that.
That's and the last closed.
Okay, if it was to be closed. Third, while he doesn't access it, if only A is there for him, he can't get access to back to 54 if Third was shut down. So those are all the kinds of things we would look at if we got an application. We don't have an application for a closure at this point. So all I'm doing is having you adopt the ordinance that says, here's our procedure and here's our fee. We have to first have the petition. We have to have the fee once it's turned in. And we have to have the other three things. We have to have a survey, we have to have a title opinion, and we have to seek consent from any identifiable public utility that would be in a street or another. And this is a sample checklist of what we have to go through if you have a request for one. We have not had a request. That's page 2 of that handy. We've not had a request since I've been here. To have one closed. But I know there's some records of some closures in the past. Excuse me, as I look back through past minutes, various alleys and some portions of streets. How they did it back then, I don't know, but it's controlled by the transportation. And what the the other thing they have to have is an appraisal, and that's interesting. The transportation code looks at it that even any portion of a street or an alley has value, and you are trustees on behalf of the whole public upholding the easement or title to streets or to roads. So they want you to have an appraisal so you know how much you need to charge. And cities are actually selling it when they close and getting the money back in based on the appraisal for the taxpayer, because you're really holding it in trust for the taxpayer.
So the appraisal comes from a private appraisal group?
Yep. The applicant has to pay for the appraisal. An appraisal isn't tax value on the rolls.
Right.
So the ordinance 351 you have in front of you lays these things out. If you got any questions, go ahead and answer.
So was I have to be careful how I'm going to write this. Was this ordinance thought of or made of because there was a person interested in doing
it? I've heard rumors that Mr. Aiken, who's here tonight, may want to ask you to close a street or an alley.
And he
articulated that this evening. I wanted to make sure we had the process in place.
Well, see, at that point, I have a problem with it.
Okay.
Because we already had heard the rumor or knew about it. And to me, I mean, and I think I've come across with other issues like this before where I feel like it should have been done previously without there being something brought up or rumors heard. Because at this point, it almost seems like we're just trying to make it really difficult or bringing up all the laws and all the and if we're butts about it. But had somebody not asked, nothing would have been done. We wouldn't have had this ordinance, basically.
I'll respond to you in this way. No matter whether I ask you to adopt this tonight, you don't want to adopt it, don't adopt it. But you are going to follow the law when it comes in front of you. Now, what the ordinance does is it clearly makes it available to anybody who walks in. Here's your packet. Here's what you have to do. Otherwise, you leave that person subject to, well, you got to go in and talk to Ron. What's Ron say? Or I look at him and say, well, just guess and fly blind. But when you come up here to city council, you don't know what to do. You haven't done it properly, and you're not going to get passed. So if you've got your procedure adopted, which is by statute, which is what I'm asking you to do, get it on your books. And I'll say this, Rosa. There are times we are very reactive. I don't sit around and say, do I need to draft 10 more ordinances today in the event somebody does X, Y, or Z? So we haven't had a formal request in. Now, when cities get in trouble because growth is occurring so quickly and they're trying to get all their ordinances in place to be ready for development, they just put a moratorium on. I faced it in Colorado, some places where you can process for 2 years. Until they got all of their planning regulations in place, all of their street ordinances and vacations in place, et cetera, et cetera. We don't do that here. Texas frowns on moratoriums, but we have not had an applicant come in. So now you have it to adopt and get in place before you do have an application.
And this
but either way, for example, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
For example, if a petition was brought in, does the petition speak the magic words? Or did the applicant just dream up what he's supposed to have? Or am I supposed to react without council approval and dream up what he's supposed to have? And that I don't want to do. I want it clearly defined what the process is.
And the Texas law that would legislate this is what? Is under what?
The transportation code, and I gave you the section. And then what I'm working out of for the checklist and what has to be submitted is a handbook prepared by the Texas City Attorneys Association on street closures.
And that's so this section 311.008 is the one from
that's the one.
Texas
the
Transportation.
Okay.
Yes. And it is whether you abandon the road, close the road, vacate the road. There are several terms used, all meaning about the same thing. But your biggest thing, I think, two things to keep in mind. You're holding any right-of-way or title to the property in trust for the taxpayer, so it's a value, and you need to get something out of it. And number two, the law requires 100% of the people that touch that section of alley or road or block have to sign the petition. Otherwise, you can't do it.
And I think that as we anticipate growth and changes in our school and the development of, and the possibility of building new schools, I think this is going to come into play again. I don't think that we're doing anything. I don't want to do anything that's one-sided. But I think we've already seen previously on some actions that we've taken how we are kind of behind. And we got ourselves in a pickle, so to speak, because we had not been proactive in what we were doing. Not that that's anyone's fault, but we're a little municipality that's just sit here kind of stagnant for a really long time. And I don't think we're trying to hinder anyone. I don't. That's not our point at all. But sometimes our trying to enable one disables another. And that's why I think it's very important that everyone has a, that all the parties involved in that have a right to speak up. Because I don't want to give to one and take away from another. Does that make sense?
And with any growth, with any moving forward, then we do have to take into consideration that we do have to move into the new forms, the new, you know, ways of doing things, because this way of, you know, us being the good old boy system where everything was done, which you can't do it anymore, or I haven't seen it done anymore, just the handshake and how do you do, you know, doesn't work anymore. Now everything has to be on paper, signed off by somebody that is, that knows, that is legally, and, you know, we have to. If we want to move forward, if we want to create growth, we have to create it the right way, and we have to go about it procedurally and policy-wise.
And I think fairly to any applicant that walks in here. I developed a lot of property in Colorado. I didn't like some of the laws, but at least if I knew that each one of us doing it had to comply equally, then fine. That's the rule. That's the rule. If I go back and I look at prior abandonments of alleys or streets that this community has done, I bet you I can find they didn't follow the law.
I know one.
Oh, okay.
I was on the council. I was going to comment to Rosen's comment.
Okay.
I was on the council when we did do the good old boy deal one day because it sounded like the thing to do and blatantly broke the law as a council because we didn't abide by a law deal and paid the consequences for it. It was quite a few years ago, but it was brought to us and we paid.
And the other thing
to keep
is
something out of court.
The council did not have an attorney come in every meeting. And couldn't afford to have an attorney sitting here meeting to tell you you need to do X, Y, and Z. And not just react to what you were attempting to do, but try and think forward as to what you're going to need. I know if we follow the statute, as I'm asking you to adopt the ordinance, and everybody that walks in here has to do that, we can defend any lawsuit about any street closure of that, as long as the petition shows 100% of the owners. We have a title policy that's saying these are the owners. We have a survey saying this is exactly what we're voting to give up. An appraisal for what the value of the property is. I'm happy to camp. Then we followed the law.
I wonder if we don't have surveys.
So, but, you know, we also need, we don't want to be, let me put it this way. I don't want people out there to think that we're reactionary, that we react to anybody that comes in. Once we have something in print, once we have something on the books, doesn't matter who comes in, we can always go back and say, hey, it's right here. Does it happen to be that today it was brought forth because of something that was, yes, because we hadn't thought about it until somebody brought it to our attention, until somebody said, you know, hey, we need to close the street, or we need to do this, you know, or that. Then we, Ron went back and looked and say, okay, so what were the procedures in place?
That we got to do if somebody comes out and asks. Now, I heard even before Mr. Aiken that the county was looking at that corner, and they can't even find the deeds to figure out what they own in that corner. And we're talking west of his present building. And that the county clerk said she didn't have any record of the deeds or trying to find the deeds. So it kind of goes along this line, and I'll keep it simple. If the city has the right to put a road in, it either has that because it has an easement, a right given to the city to get across that road back and forth, or because the city physically owns that property. When you get ready to abandon, the question becomes, well, what are you abandoning? An easement? Or do you actually own the property? And guess how thorough the records are. The county can't figure out whether they own the corner. When that issue came up, I thought, well, how do we get our signs on the corner? You know, and so far I haven't found the answer to that, whether it was by easement, whether it was by deed, or whatever. But that's part of what a title company search does for you. And the title company searches all the records, says, here's everything we can find dealing with this piece of property. And by the way, depending upon what you say the value is, we'll charge you a premium, but we're an insurance policy, that you're not going to lose money because of our title search. But so far, what I can tell, and I wouldn't know till we had an applicant and we saw a title search and that, I can't tell you whether the rest of A, all the way over to through Wiley's, has actually been abandoned. When I look carefully and look down that line, Wiley's didn't build a structure over that street. They do have a fence, but they don't have a structure. So I'm not sure that it was abandoned through there.
The gin building is right in the middle of that property line.
That gin building has been there forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
And
so if we don't deal with it now, we're going to have to face it later. A chance would have to do it now. So why?
Well, if you get
you know, I'm not saying let's do it to hurt somebody, but why pass the buck and wait? You know, let's look at it good, because we're going to have to face the same situation later if we have any building going on around here in expansion of town at all or anything. So,
especially when it deals with closing a street or closing an alley or closing.
It's going to be done anyway, so we're going to have to face it again. Now to get this street done, what he's saying is
all entities,
people have to be in for it. They have to sign this. So basically, if we don't do it, and say the county, I don't know, decide they don't want to do it, they can sue us.
Oh, right. Well, you can't do it unless they.
Unless they do it. You know, if we tried to do it without their okay, then somebody's going to sue us.
Yep.
Now, can we as a city afford a suit, a lawsuit?
No, you're going to lose that argument.
You see what I'm saying?
And let's say it was in reverse. Let's say the county says we want to abandon the road. And Mr. Aiken and Mr. Rhodes say, no, you can't still do it. Even though the county would want it done as an adjoining landowner.
So to protect our city, we need to be on top of all ordinances going out. And this just happens to be one. It's not against anybody in particular. He said, they did it wrong and they had to pay.
What I want is, no matter who walks in the front door and says, I'm interested in having my portion of an alley closed or another street closed, fine, here in the manila envelope is your packet. It tells you what you got to do, so you can fill all that out, bring it back to staff, we can put it up on the council's agenda, then council can deal with it. But when you go to deal with it, you got all the facts. you know what you're doing. You know who owns every portion of a property that abuts it. You know what the survey shows the legal description is, because if you're going to approve by ordinance the vacation, you got to have the legal description. You got to know what it is you're vacating or closing. Okay, etc. So that's all this is designed to do. I don't personally care. I have no feelings whether Mr. Aiken, Mr. Roden want it closed, don't want it closed, or whether the county does. That's up to the council as they look at the particular facts. I just want to make sure whatever you do, you are following the right process when you do it.
You're talking about the $200, $250 fee. Is that the norm, you're saying?
Well, we're going to
make an adjustment on that?
Pretty much what I've seen around. We're going to pay publication cost out of that, and I don't know what that's going to be yet. So it's not just straight stick in our pocket. So let's see. We've got to do mailings, which would be by certified letter in this case. You've got to conduct public hearings. We've got to notice those. Part of the cost is for them to present either the appraiser or give us a check. We hired an appraiser. I can't remember how many. I've got to look back at my booklet. How many total times we've got to publish this as it goes along, but I'm going to guess two. So your $250 covers our mailing cost, covers publication cost in the newspaper. Now you can either do it that way or say deposit $250 after we've identified our cost. We'll refund you back if you don't want to recover anything of your employees' times of working these kind of deals. So that's up to you.
Am I right in thinking that by doing that, not only are we looking out for the city, but for those individuals who are there? Because if we don't have a survey done, because I think that we already see a not for sure who owns what, seems like to me that clarification would be worth a lot for those people that are involved.
And we've got a lot of that around this town where that I've picked up on, where people have passed away and the heirs end up with the property, physically holding the property, but not legally entitled. And so you go to do an abandonment or closure by an estate that was never probated, heirs that are out of state or elsewhere, and it's a nightmare. But you got to know it, because whoever legally is entitled, even though you may not be able to completely identify that, it has to get noticed.
I know that that's a problem in the city, because when we bought our house, we had some problems with easement.
Yep.
When the surveyor came in and did that.
And so ultimately what happens on these cases, you can't identify, the heirs are dead, they didn't leave wills, so you have to go in and hire an attorney and do a legal action called a quiet title. And you got to try to get that title established into somebody's name. Well, the question is always the equity or fairness. Well, if Joe Smith died, the heirs messed with the property but never got a deed, they've since died, and they didn't have wills, who in fairness owns the property? So you got to go through a court action and let a judge determine that. Then once you have that person, then you can say, are you willing to sign this petition? And you got a lot of that this time.
Yeah.
Do we have any more comments, any more questions?
So the the item requires a motion to approve if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, I'll move that we approve it.
Motion has been made by Councilman Porter to approve Ordinance 351-SM, adopting application form, petition form, setting requirements for application and setting fees for street alley closures.
I'll second it.
It has been seconded by Councilman Gonzalez. All those in favor? 4-1. Motion carries. Moving on to item 7 on the agenda, appointing Randy Mayfield and David Watson as animal control officers, discuss upon training.
Okay, if council will recall, I had a company I thought lined up to come into town and do the tranquilizing of animals so we could take them to the Humane Center. As I suspected, you have to be licensed, you have to have certain certifications and training to be able to use the tranquilizer gun. It's called chemical capture, or to use what's called a bite stick or pepper spray. I suspect they've never called me back. They didn't have the licensing and they didn't want to go do it. So we've identified the school and got Randy and David scheduled to go to the school. It's in Mansfield, south of Fort Worth, Dallas area. But the school won't accept them unless you, the council, appoint them as animal control officers. If you do that, then they'll train them and certify them. And then when they're done and come back, we'll be able to buy our tranquilizer guns, and then we will be able to buy the medication from the vets that we need for the tranquilization.
So they would be certified to do all of those things?
Yes.
But whatever you said about the...
The bite stick, yes, and chemical capture is called tranquilizer. Okay. Just another way to say it. Bite stick is essentially the snares that they use. They call bite sticks. Pepper spray, you know about. But we're just going. We have the snares, but we'll go for the tranquilization because when that dog runs, can't get a snare around him. But you can get it.
And I suppose the tranquilizing is more humane than the pepper spray.
I would think so,
it would be on a human, so...
I would want to have it, I think. Just yes. Slowly put me to sleep and not the...
Mm-hmm.
Now, he'll find out in class. I'm not sure how long that dog, for example, is out. And so you put him in the cage, we load him up to take him to Plainview. I'm sure it's not out the whole trip. I bet it's... What would you guess, Randy? 5-10 minutes?
Maybe 5 to 10 minutes.
And it wears off and the dog's back to life. So, I need to have you appoint them, and I have certificates for the mayor to sign showing you're appointing them, and you're going to authorize them to be able to do that within the community, go down and get the training.
How long is training?
How long is it?
It's 8 hours.
So, you're training
on
one day?
One day.
Okay. Then how often do you have to train after that? I mean,
After that, it'll be, it may be refreshers here and there, but not... I won't have to retrain.
Okay.
That's funny. We called Lubbock and everybody, and they said, well, we're waiting for a school we'd like to bring them out. We finally found that there was two different schools. One was over in
Giddings.
Giddings, yeah.
Oh. So.
Let me say this. If you wish us to really try to solve your dog cat problem, we need to have you.
That's what I say.
I make a motion that we approve whatever it says. There's appointing Randy and David as the
animal
control officers.
Motion has been made by Councilman Mullinax to appoint Randy Mayfield and David Watson as animal control officers.
And may I add to that, I'm sorry, and that after they are certified, they will be able to employ those techniques in the city of Petersburg. Will you accept that friendly amendment?
Yes, I will.
Okay. I'll second it.
Motion has been seconded by Councilman Gonzalez. All those in favor? 5-0. Motion carries.
And Brandon's. Brandon's not here, but he said he didn't want to do it.
He's back here.
Oh, Brandon?
Brandon.
Last chance, you want to go to chemical capture school?
No.
Okay. Moving on to item 8 on the agenda, and this is discussion action concerning placing city-owned property located at 1512 Avenue up for bid and setting a minimum bid. And as you recall, we had tabled that motion until we had passed the mobile home ordinance. We had an update to it, so we had tabled this, so I was wanting to put it back on the agenda so that we can move forward with selling it.
Now, hit me with exactly where that is.
Okay, so if you go down East First all the way to
the
Avenue
end.
O, it's on your right-hand
That's
side. It's
Jack
an empty
Higgins.
Lot.
Jack Higgins.
Jack Higgins.
Yes. All right, so what I've handed out for you is a couple things. It's just to tell you the procedure on lots you own that are not struck off because of taxes. And this one, we own outright. It was gifted by Higgins to the city. Some facts, which is when we got it, what we've done with the property, which was you got it shortly before I got here. You got it April 1st, 2013 by special warranty deed. The lot is 110 feet wide by 140 feet deep if you're on First Street. It's surrounded by residential homes in that area. And we've spent $1,600 to have the structures removed on the property, and then we've since maintained, moated, etc. since that time. So my recommendation to you is if you decide that you want to accept bids on this lot, you do two things. You set a minimum price of $2,000, and you set a requirement that it be used for residential purposes only, since it's all surrounded by houses. And that's purely recommendation if you decide to do it.
So I kind of have a question there, too. Does the alley come all the way through there?
The alley is on the back side of the lot. It's between it and Main Street.
But it does go all the way through?
Through behind the lot.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay. I'm just trying to visualize it in my mind because...
Okay, so go down Main Street.
Right.
To Avenue
instead of the other way.
To Avenue O, take a left. It's the first lot past the alley on your left.
Okay.
Across from Baines, you know where... Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Any questions on that?
Was there someone that had inquired about this lot, or were just...
We had already put it on the agenda.
Mm-hmm. And I put it on the agenda because there was an interested party.
That's what... Okay.
So that was back in January, I believe.
And then, if you'll recall, at that same time, we had issues with the trailer that was brought in on another lot, and you had inquired, was there going to be another mobile home brought in? The answer was yes, and so you wanted to table. And then the mayor asked that it be re-put on tonight.
So we could move forward with selling it.
Well, I think we would be foolish if we did not try to recoup the money that we have spent. Mm-hmm. And if we're not diligent in the use of the monies that we spend and we have an opportunity to get that money back, and it's not astronomical,
no.
Especially for the city of Petersburg, and or for a piece of lot, piece of land anywhere. So I think it's a fair...
And like I said, and that's a minimum. So any bids
could
that
have
would
more.
Come in, have, you know,
right.
Either at least that or more.
Right.
Well, that's a big lot. That's 110 by 140. My opinion is that's low. Because you're talking, what is the normal, just a regular lot size, like 50 by?
Oh, most of the lots, a good majority of the lots in this town are 50 by 100.
100. Mm-hmm. So that's...
It's a good size lot because it's kind of a corner. It is a corner lot,
not
so
even.
It's bigger. And you can certainly set the minimum any place you want it. I would just say the recommended form of the motion would be: I move to put it up and advertise it for bids, and restrict it to residential uses only, and set a minimum price of.
And so then anytime we want to do that from this point forward, we can set the minimum at anything we want.
Anything you want.
Okay.
In restricting it to residential use, I'll just add this, is really consideration of the neighbors, that you're not bringing in a business in the middle of a residential neighborhood, even though you don't have zoning in Petersburg.
Well, I'm going to make a motion that we place our city-owned property located at 1512 Avenue O up for bid with a minimum of
$2,500.
And for residential only. And for residential only.
Restricted. Motion has been made by Councilwoman Horn to place property located at 1512 Avenue O up for bids with a minimum set recommended by Councilwoman Horn at $2,500, and it be used for residential only. All the and it has been seconded by Councilwoman Marroquin. All those in favor? 5-0, motion carries.
I know Jack would want us to get as much as we could.
Right.
Does anybody know the history of why he gave it to the city?
I don't think he had anyone else.
He had no heirs.
He passed away, and we actually bought it for $1.
Oh, we did? Okay.
He didn't.
Like I did the one on me. Yeah.
He did. Yeah, really. He didn't have. He really didn't have any.
Well, at the time the deed was signed, he was ill, but another person had power of attorney to sign.
Like a niece or nephew or something.
Okay, it is 7:39.
I'm going to tell you, Jack Hayes.
It is 7:39, and I've done this meeting.
We paid that dollar, didn't we?